It's Turi Ryder on 720 WGN.
President Obama was on, I believe it was the Today Show, or maybe it was Good Morning America, and somebody asked about whether when Sasha and Malia, the presidential daughters, go into their adolescent rebellion and want to get tattoos, what he's going to do about it. And he said that if his daughters wanted to get tattoos, that he and Michelle Obama, the first lady and the president, would get matching tattoos and put them up on YouTube. So we had a whole conversation last night about stuff that your parents do, stuff that your parents did or do to embarrass you, and stuff that you did or do to embarrass your parents. And then we got on the subject of all of the body modification that people do as an act of rebellion, perhaps when they're 18, 25, 26, maybe. And at a certain point, you may decide that you'd like to work in a bank, in which case the giant hubcap that you have through your ear will not serve you well. But what do you do? So the consensus was you just take out the big giant tire jack that you've got in your ear and your ear will close up and go back to the way it was. And I said, no way. That will not happen. That does not happen. You cannot put a big giant thing the diameter of a quarter through your ear, wear it for 6 years, take it out and expect that you're going to have the lovely pristine earlobes of, I don't know, your dad. So I wanted a plastic surgeon, but Trey, extraordinary producer Trey, said, you know, Tori, the people who really know about this are the people who do the body modification in the first place. So I said, okay, we'll start there. Steve Truitt, whom you are about to meet, is the founder and owner of Ascension Body Modification in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I gather he's a friend of Trey's, or at least someone he knows. Hey, Steve, welcome. You're on 720 WGN.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm well. And I just want to say for the record that I think those giant dish-sized things through people's ears are strange.
Yes. I mean, they're not for everybody.
No. But what I really want to know is, well, I want to know a lot of things. First of all, what kind of jobs do people have with giant hubcap-sized things through their ears?
It varies a lot. I know people that a friend of mine had probably, I think his were 1.5 inches holes in his ears. And he was working at Los Alamos National Laboratories, working for the government, doing top secret things.
Is he a computer wizard?
No, I'm not exactly sure what he did there. He wasn't really allowed to talk about it.
Are you sure, because it's top secret, that he didn't just make it up and really he didn't empty the garbage cans?
I don't know. Maybe he did.
Yeah, that would be my guess. I mean, my guess would be, oh, yeah, it's really top secret. I can't tell you what I do, but I have a pie plate through my ear. And, you know, they're just not going to let you be the head of PR, for example, with the pie plate in your ear.
Yeah, it depends. A lot of people do work computer jobs. I have a lot of friends that work for companies like Google and Microsoft, and they make a ton of money, and they can, they can have giant holes in their ears. They can have their faces tattooed because they don't really interact with the public in a sales, manner.
Right. It's basically like saying, I don't want to deal with normal people, so I'm just going to make myself look so strange that people look away from me.
Yeah, that's some people. Other people just like how it looks, and they like wearing, fancy jewelry and things like that in it.
How can you like how it looks when you don't see it?
You see it. You look in the mirror. Everybody kind of has this own idea of themselves and what they want to look like. And, a lot of people, that's included boots, piercings, tattoos, and all kinds of other things.
Well, there are certain tattoos, I think that if you want to, it's cool if you get to look at them. I will never in a million years understand, unless it's your culture, if you're from Samoa or someplace and that's your culture and it's what people do. But I will never understand the tattooing that is on the skin where you couldn't see it even with four mirrors. Like, why? It'd be like buying a painting that you never get to look at.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can look at it in the mirror. You don't, if you have a nice painting at your house, you don't look at it all the time. You can look at it when you want to.
You'd have to hang up. I mean, some of these things, like the women with the little tramp stamp on the back, you have to take off all your clothes, basically twist yourself around like a pretzel, get a three-way mirror, stand up, and perk your butt up into the mirror. It's very difficult to look at that part of your body. You really, it's a project. You have to make plans to do it.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the person. Maybe they like how it looks. Maybe it makes them feel sexy, so they like it, or their partner likes it.
I guess. Boy, that's... let me just say this. Okay, this is, first of all, I don't do the tattooing thing, but this is the other thing that I've never really understood about modifying your body, which is I can't commit that long to my furniture. Never mind to, you know, I can barely commit that long to my kids. Never mind having something on my body that's a piece of artwork. What if I don't like it anymore? Why not? If it's sentimental, why not just send myself a Hallmark card and call it a day?
Yeah, some people like to, you know, memorialize people in their lives or times in their lives, and they can go back and look at that tattoo or piercing or whatever and remember what was going on at that point in their life, whether it's, you know, some accomplishment they made or, you know, in memory of a loved one who passed away or just a specific time in their life that they were really happy or, you know, or some people just really like the artwork.
Well, I like to look at other people's artwork. That's always fun. I love to look at other people's artwork. I live in the Bay Area. There's just nothing like the body artwork that you see around here. On the other hand, the whole thing where you just like, you inscribe somebody's date of death, RIP, that kind of stuff, you just think to yourself, this is way too big a commitment to anybody's memory that you're going to just take your body and make a graveyard out of it. The whole thing is bizarre. Okay, so that's my prejudice. Now you know. But what I want to know, what I really want to know, is after you're sick of the hubcap through your ear, if you decide you would prefer to go with a more, let us say, traditional look, what happens when you take the hubcap out?
Well, it depends on the person and how fast they stretch their ear. Because you start off with a tiny hole, like a regular earring, and then you just gradually get a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger. And a lot of times when you see them and they're really big, they've taken people years and years to get to that point. So if people have stretched real slowly, like they're supposed to, it'll close up a lot on its own. There's obviously a point you get to where it's just not going to close up any more than that. But for example, I had holes in my ears that were probably about the size of a nickel, and I had them that way for a couple years and took them out, and now you can barely tell I ever had my ears pierced because I stretched them slowly, and so they closed back up. Bigger ones, though, a lot of times you can take them out, and they'll close up some. They won't close up all the way, especially if people stretched really fast. Then when they stretch it, they're tearing the tissue, which causes the body to build scar tissue, which isn't as elastic as normal tissue. So it doesn't close up like it would if they would have taken their time. And in that case, most people end up getting surgery to have them closed.
But what don't you sort of want there to be? I remember when I had my ears pierced, you wanted the scar tissue because that was how you wore heavier earrings. If you had no scar tissue, then the heavy earring, and just please try not to be sick when you listen to me say this, if you have a queasy stomach, if you would put like an ear wire with a heavy earring and you had no scar tissue, it would basically just like an egg slicer go right through your earlobe.
Yeah, that's a real common thing that that I see a lot with older women, is that they've been wearing heavy earrings on the really thin wires for most of their lives. And it's just slowly worked its way through like a cheese grater and left them with a much bigger hole in their ear. In the body piercing world, we generally don't even use any jewelry that's that small. The smallest stuff that we use is thick enough that even if you wear something heavier on it, it doesn't cut through the tissue like those real thin earrings do over time.
Yeah, that's like those little hard-boiled egg slicers. But I heard that it was easier to not damage your ear if you had scar tissue there. So you're telling me that the big giant plate through the ear thing will close up if you did it without there being scar tissue involved. And that's, I guess, because you're not using a wire, you're using something like blunt in your ear, heavy but blunt.
Right.
So then you don't get the scar tissue.
Right.
Okay. I'm starting to understand this. Now, I have some more questions for you. Despite all my prejudices, I'm still absolutely curious. Can you hold on a minute?
Sure.
Great. You're a good sport, Steve Turret. I appreciate it. We're talking about body modification because the president and the first lady threatened to get tattoos if their daughters get them, which seemed like a pretty good strategy. Don't you think, Steve?
No. I mean, if I was one of his kids and he threatened that, I would be like, well, he's president. I'm going to make him live up to his word and get tattooed then. Just to see if he'd actually do it.
Okay. But then you know what he threatened to do? He said he'll get what? The tattoo, and he and Michelle are going to put them up on YouTube as a family tattoo. And I would say that would be so embarrassing to me as a adolescent that there's just no way I could go through with it to have my parents embarrassing me like that. And when you're a kid, you care about that stuff, no?
Yeah, I guess you would. But, it might be at the point that, he's such a public figure that, I wouldn't believe he'd do it anyway.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So we know where you come down on this one. You're a doubter. You don't think he would go through with it. I wonder if we're going to get a chance to find out. It may come to that because they've got to rebel somehow. Yeah. They're just too perfect. They're too perfect. They will have to rebel somehow. Jenna Bush, after all, did a public service announcement in favor of gay marriage in New York. So everybody's got to do something. Upset the apple cart a little bit. So, okay. Questions for you. Let's say that you have made of your body a living tabernacle to ink, and now you wish to work in a bank. What do you do?
If that's the career choice that you've wanted to go with, you've gotten your tattoos in a responsible location where you could cover them with your clothes. Otherwise, you're probably going to have to go invest in some laser tattoo removal, which is very expensive and incredibly painful.
Well, is it more painful than getting the tattoo in the first place?
Yeah. I've had a couple of my tattoos lasered, and it hurt at least 10 times worse than getting the tattoo in the first place.
Well, let me ask you, what on earth would you, a committed tattoo artisan, a modifier of bodies, aware as you are of how permanent these things can be, what made you decide you wanted one of them vacuumed off your body? And where was it, by the way?
I've had one on my ankle, one on my back, and ones on my knuckles all lasered once or twice each, just to lighten them so I could cover them with better tattoos. I started getting tattooed at a fairly young age, so I got some that weren't as good as they could have been and then were kind of in the way of bigger projects that I wanted to do.
Ah, so they were the training wheel tattoos.
Basically, yeah. They were the tattoos that I was 16 or 17 years old and went, oh, that's cool, I want that. And then when I'm older and more into getting the tattoos for the art than it being cool, I'm like, oh, I wish I didn't have that on my back so I could tattoo something really cool over the whole thing.
Okay, what was the uncool thing that you got off your back?
I had a little tribal tattoo that I got there when I was 16.
I see. So this is my other question. I'm so cynical. You know when people have these supposedly Asian signs that mean, cosmic good luck or whatever? Is it ever possible that tattoo artists put Asian symbols that say instead, stupid white American knows nothing about our culture or similar?
Oh, yeah, it's totally possible. We always tell people when they come into our shop and they want, the Chinese or Japanese kanji on them, we tell them we can look it up on the internet, but we suggest going to somebody who speaks and writes the language so you can be sure that it's right, because there's a million websites out there that will tell you that, this symbol means power or love or brother or whatever, but if you don't read the language, you don't know if it really does or not.
Yeah, I wonder if it's ever happened that someone's come in with one of these, like, this means link to the cosmos, and someone in the shop actually says, that means smells like our flock of goats.
I'm sure it has. We get a lot of people that come in that, want their name written out in kanji, and they don't understand that, there's not like A, B, C, D, E, F, G in kanji. And so
yes.
They're like, but my friend has it. They typed it in on Google and it came out with this. And we're like, yeah, you don't know what that means unless you find somebody who can read that.
Good point. Yes. Well, this is the other thing I've always wondered. Are the people who get tattoos oftentimes a few bulbs shy of a chandelier?
Not necessarily. Some of them are, of course, but a lot of people are, you're just normal, everyday people that are into the artwork, or, you know, they want to go through some type of rite of passage and, you know, commemorate some event in their life, or, you know, they want to have a tattoo with one of their friends or loved ones as a bonding experience. There's all kinds of reasons.
Okay, because I almost never have seen one that says, I got this to commemorate my PhD in romance languages, or I got this one the day that I passed my boards in neurosurgery. That almost never happens.
You'd probably be surprised. There's a lot of people out there with tattoos, and they do all kinds of different jobs.
That's true. I mean, these days they're hardly an act of rebellion. These days, right, they're like grandmothers getting them. If I see one more stupid flower on one more 75-year-old lady's ankle that she got with her friends in Las Vegas.
I worked in Las Vegas for a while, and we got a lot of that. Most of the clients we had at the shop there, it was in a casino. They came in and got tattooed because it was safer, you know, in their mind, being in a casino, which is, you know, fancy and all that, and not going to an actual, like, tattoo shop.
Oh, heaven help us. Yes. No, we don't want to go near a tattoo. Oh, God. Perish the thought.
But if it's in a casino, then that makes it
okay. It must be good. Yeah, what bad thing could possibly happen to you in a Las Vegas casino? I think you've summed it up very nicely there. Steve, you have answered my question, which is, I don't exactly win my bet. I don't exactly lose my bet as to whether you need plastic surgery to undo the 3-inch gap in your earlobe. It depends.
If it's really big, then, yeah, you need surgery. And I've seen a lot of people go to just a regular doctor, and they'll, you know, kind of snip them off and sew them up, and it looks horrible.
Plastic surgeon. You want a plastic surgeon for this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And, yeah, from what I've seen in my experience, you want a good plastic surgeon who doesn't think that you're stupid for doing it in the first place, because a lot of that.
That could be hard to find. Of course, you'd probably then want the same plastic surgeon who thinks it's perfectly acceptable for a 5 foot to 90 pound woman to have a double D chest. That's the one you want then, because they don't think that anything you do is really outrageous. Thank you so much, Steve. You've been a great sport. I hope you'll come back one day.
Yep, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Steve Truitt. He is the founder and owner of Ascension Body Mod in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So you see, Trey, we were both right. 720 WGN.
You're listening to Terry Ryder on 720 WGN.